From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Can you believe it? We actually made it to another Friday in this arbitrary calendar of ours with certain days, like 7 days to a week and all that stuff. We actually made it through the freaking week again. Every day, every week, I'm amazed because, well, you know, you never know what to expect. Hey, kids, it's Jockulation. It's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host this evening. So we're going to start things a little bit differently. This morning, I'm sitting over at the breakfast table with my youngest, or well, I shouldn't say my youngest, with my daughter. And we're talking about school. And the first thing she comes up to me and says is, oh, check it out, Dad. We're going ahead and we're playing this really cool game over at school. I said, oh, yeah, what is that? It's called COVID Tag. I was like looking at her and I'm like,
what the fuck?
What is COVID Tag, hon? And she says, well, I said to her, are you actually like tagging people? She's like, well, we come up and we kind of touch them, but not really. But the rules kind of go like this. So one person is infected and is trying to create a super spreader event, and there's only four vaccines. So the object of the game is to go ahead and, if you're the person infected, create a super spreader event and take everybody else out, or be a survivor of the super spreader event and get a vaccine. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking to myself,
what the fuck?
Dude, if art imitates life. God damn, this is just absolutely fucking fantastic. So apparently the kids came up with this on their own. And what they're going to do is they're modifying the rules, you know, just to go ahead and kind of go along with what they're experiencing. And it's pretty fucked up and kind of cool in a sense, disturbing, but kind of cool that they're sitting here being this observant. Mind you, this is all about, these are a bunch of kids that are like 8 and 9 years old coming up with this shit, and it's based on their own life events. So, hey, man, I guess they're paying attention, right? And that kind of segues into some great shit that I got here, right? Is it just me, or is finding any kind of, like, uplifting or entertaining news lately or current events, like, totally absent from the media today? I mean, hey, are there any of those kinds of things over
there? How about news?
Shit, no, man. Whoop, COVID. Here we go. We're going to die. Shit, no. It's all about stuff that's like, you know, people dying, death tolls. We got a new mutation. We got Janet Yellen. Well, you know, going ahead and trying to get all the people on Reddit. More on that later. So all of these things, right? Well, it's no wonder that people, when you stop and think about it, are doing the right thing, like sucking down so much alcohol, because we're tormented with a fucking smorgasbord of like shitty reality TV shows, even shittier competition shows made for television, and dumb opinions masquerading as news programs, right? So if you stop and think about it, I don't know why. Maybe it was because I was like sitting there thinking about how much alcohol I consume. But apparently U.S. alcohol sales last year will approach $5.6 billion, right? And that's like up roughly 50% from like the $3 billion it was last year. And you figure, well, maybe it's just a U.S. problem. Hey, Carlos, is it just a U.S. problem? I'm just curious.
No.
No, my expert researcher over there apparently has been digging in. Apparently, the 10 core markets of Australia, Brazil, China, France, Germany, Italy, Japan. Did I say Japan? Well, I'll say it again. Japan, Spain, the U.K., and the U.S. Basically, all the e-commerce sales for booze are up 42% to $24 billion. In 2020, holy freaking shit, right?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Yeah, I would blame Ron too, but you know, every time I go on these shows, all the beers are gone. That's what I keep hearing.
So, like, when you stop and think about it, right, that clearly the endless lockdowns that have been going on across the globe are basically, you know, are making us captive consumers of all this bullshit pandemic TV programming, right? So we're left with a couple of different choices here. We can either funnel in ever-increasing amounts of alcohol to make the ever shittier quality programming more entertaining, or we could just commit suicide, right? I mean,
I mean, what the fuck?
That's about what we're left with after it's all said and done. So, after a whole lot of thought and reflection and some consultation with my spiritual advisor, Green Spot Whiskey, about this terrible conundrum, we both came to the conclusion that we should watch shows about drinking on the Food Channel, but incorporate a little bit of audience participation. What do you think about that? So, and as a result, the Green Spot Whiskey had to be replaced. Well, I was sitting there taking a look at a couple of different shows, right? For some reason, I get sucked into the Food Channel, the Travel Channel, all that shit, probably mostly because everybody else in my family is so focused and interested on that shit. So I went ahead and decided, well, let me see what they got in as far as booze goes. Oh, there's definitely been an American honey shortage. Why the fuck is there a honey shortage? Because we're killing all the bees? Probably. But at any rate. I got sucked into these two shows that I wish, you know, it's like time I'm going to be screaming for on my fucking deathbed, sitting there going, why did I sit there and actually watch this shit? So I was watching The Thirsty Traveler and The Booze Traveler, right? So The Thirsty Traveler is this dude. His name is Kevin Brosh. He's a Canadian, right? He's a Canadian television presenter. Whatever the fuck that is. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, if you can make some money and a living and a comfortable living at calling yourself a television presenter, which is a euphemism for I do nothing but sit there and smile a lot at a camera, dude, I'm envious of your fucking job and I think I need it. You know what I'm saying? At any rate, so we got Kevin Brosh over here, right? The whiskey, I think it's a tiny bottle shortage. Well, why the hell would we have like a honey shortage for whiskey? Whiskey doesn't require honey. I should know, man. I'm a fucking expert on this stuff. But let me get back to the show here. So apparently, like, Kevin Brosh, if you've never seen him, he's like this twinkish dude. He's got, like, a small piece of tumbleweed or perhaps some small roadkill dangling from beneath his lower lip in some very hipster-esque kind of a way. And he has a very, like, effeminate tankard that he carries around. It looks like it's been stolen from a child's Renaissance fair, and it reminds me kind of my daughter's sippy cup when she was, like, 3. At any rate, what he does is he packs his ass in some skinny jeans and sips on his tankard and travels around the world drinking everybody else's booze, but he managed to make, like, 50 fucking shows, which I'm just sitting there and saying, dude, where do I fucking sign up? Now, you're probably asking yourself, well, what the hell is this show about? Pretty much that. Pretty much that. You know, he's always very apologetic for asking people for their booze, even though they sign like a waiver ahead of time, effectively saying, you know, in that Canadian kind of a way, I'm saying, effectively saying, hey, look, you're going to drink a whole lot of booze here. I hope your liver's in shape. We can't sit here and actually say like it's going to be good stuff or that it won't kill you upon ingesting, like when he had chicha over in Peru, which if you've never had chicha before, oh, my God. You drink it, then you just ask.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Oh, my God. How do we... So, at any rate, so what winds up happening is after a little while, poor Kev got bounced from that show. So the Food Network moved him over, you know, so that he could go ahead and be in Kitchen Stadium and work with, like, Alton Brown and, hey, Nine, and actually kind of, like, have a real job for a little while. But he was kind of like his lackey, you know. He was always sitting there racing around Kitchen Stadium, and it's like, yeah, Karen, apparently our guy Kevin Brosh is over in the corner over there. Kevin, what's going on? Well, hey, Alton, I just wanted to let you know that Chef Moriyamoto is now incorporating some of the ball sweat from his testicles into his soup to go ahead and give it that extra umami flavor, and, you know, he's thinking about putting in a little bit of miso with that. Great! Thanks, Kev! Back to you, Alton! You know, that kind of shit. That kind of shit. So that's what he was stuck into doing. They kind of shoved him in there. And then all of a sudden, when the skinny jeans don't fit anymore, right? And the chin hair has to be shaved, you know, or the chin hair that you save from puberty has to be shaved. Kev just outlived his usefulness and boom, he's gone. Boom, he's gone. But that's okay. It was a terrible show anyways, The Thirsty Traveler. And then, so what do they do? They're like, you know what? We had a great concept. We had some shitty presentation and some shit like that. No problem. We'll try and fix it. I got a great idea. Let's dig deep into stereotypes and create this thing called a booze traveler with Jack Maxwell. Hey, Carlos, did that one work out, or what do you think?
No.
Nope. So the freaking booze traveler, same basic premise as a thirsty traveler, only he doesn't have some roadkill on his chin. He's not Canadian, and he doesn't wear skinny. Well, no, he kind of has skinny jeans, right? He kind of does. But he doesn't have that, like, roadkill dangling from beneath his lower lip. Instead, our hero is from Boston. And our Boston hero needs to check every box. So what winds up happening is we're sitting here taking a look at stereotypes. Let's put this into context. So what do? They get the Boston guy, the typical dude from fucking Southie Boston, right? The kind of guy that, you know, works hard. You know, think about, like, Matt Damon. That's all I can think about, right? So he needs to check all the boxes of every obvious fucking Southie stereotype, right? So let's go through them. The polo shirt stained with some mayo from his, like, last lobster roll, and maybe some bowling shoes from the local thrift shop, right? He's got to go ahead and do that kind of stuff, in addition to having that fucking annoying-ass, like, cliche Southie accent that even Matt Damon would hate. You know what I'm saying? He's like a fucking rare gem is what you're looking for, a rare stereotype. Now, this dude, you figure, okay, maybe I can get over all of that shit. But no, he's got to take it to a fucking another level of just absolute shit. What does he do? The acting and presentation skills are more wooden than fucking Anakin Skywalker himself, Christian Hayden. Do you remember that dude, right? Danger, my shitty acting is killing Saga. That guy, right? Couldn't fucking act his way out of a paper bag. You know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong. I know it's a high bar to eclipse, but Jacko does it easily with, like, U.S. debt levels of deficit and fucking personality and Olympic levels of, like, fucking monotone. So if you stop and think about it, right, the narration skills of this dude are suitable for, like, a children's nursery during nap time. So, like, if you put it in your head, remember that fucking terrible acting class Saga kind of shit that, like, Kevin Costner did in, like, Dances with Wolves? Remember when he had to sit there and sit, and he had to kind of, like, sit there and fucking read his narration pieces, like, the chiefs of the Indians came by and they checked my place out. I think that what I will do is perhaps give him a little bit of coffee and go ahead and give him some sugar. Ha ha ha, very funny. You remember that fucking terrible fucking acting? Yeah, well, the booze traveler is just like that. You would think that after a guy gets loaded up on all the fucking free booze possible, he'd, like, open up a little bit. The problem is, yes, it worked. He wouldn't shut the fuck up, but he did it all in monotone. I mean, shit, man. I felt more, like, emotion and more personality of Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was fucking playing the Terminator than I did about this hot guy that's over in fucking Turkey drinking up everybody else's beer. Because, you know, it's a Muslim state and, you know, you can only do certain things. But it made me start to think a bit, right? We have two terrible, terrible, terrible people here. Why were they sitting there going ahead and casting these guys? Well, what you got to stop and think about is you got to think about what it is that the Food Network is attempting to do. So the very first thing you got to think about is how they're casting and the stereotypes they're going for. So the casting director's like, all right, we want to go ahead and get something out there in the world, you know, a great travel piece, and we need to get somebody like the next Brad Pitt or maybe Bradley Cooper or Michael B. Jordan, the sexiest fucking men alive, right? But the problem is these travel shows have a budget consisting of, like, discount coupons from the bullshit propaganda stands at the hotel lobby. You know, the shit that's got, like, the two-for-one meals at the Golden Corral that nobody picks up except if you're, like, broke over in, like, a quasi-hostel and shit like that, right? They've also maybe got some of the spare change from under the couch cushions inside the extended stay that they were just in. And then, of course, whatever they could effectively steal from the gumball machine, which donates all the funds to, like, the Muscular Dystrophy Association or whatever over in the hotel lobby. So that's really what they've got as far as their full budget. So given the budget that they're given, You know, the casting director effectively looks through some retread celebrity types. You know, I'm looking at you, Trisha Yearwood, doing your fucking cooking show over on the Food Network now after you kind of ran your gambit over inside the, like, country western circle over there. Or maybe some forgettable former child star. I'm looking at you, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I mean, who the fuck watches Saved by the Bell anymore, except when, like, Dustin What's-His-Face dies from stage 4 cancer, but did a porn and you guys basically ostracized him and told this dude he's a piece of shit, but now you all are so sad that he's gone. And, of course, when all that stuff fails and you can't go ahead and find somebody to work cheap enough on your budget, what do? You got to look through the mugshots of all the current prison wives in the New York State Penitentiary for a fresh face. So that's what he winds up doing. So really what winds up happening is no fatties need to apply. We're just looking for the fucking twinks. That's what we're looking for over here. But then I discovered something wonderful. I discovered something that was absolutely fantastic. It was called the Moonshiners Master Distiller Series. Hey, LP, are we actually really talking about pandemic TV? Fuck yeah, what else is there to talk about, man? I mean, fun stuff. So, the Moonshine Master Distiller Series, man, let me tell you something. That shit is the bomb. All of Ron's relatives are basically represented on there, and I'm sure there's a shitload of banjos that are up there also. So, like, what winds up happening in this Master Distiller Series, I watched the first one. They get a bunch of, like, rednecks that have skulls stuck between their teeth, probably can't taste a goddamn thing. They've got their jeans hanging down the crack of their ass, you know, half of their fucking asshole is hanging out, staring at you and winking at you the entire time as they're bent over, putting a still together, and then they do the best thing ever. They get a fucking hipster distiller to go up against these guys. Now, if you're not familiar with what, like, you know, Moonshiners is all about, it's exactly what you think of it is. Think Deliverance Country, right? Think lots of banjos. Think a lot of people marrying their cousins. Just imagine that in your mind. But in the process, they're sitting there making all the illegal shine that they can up over in the Carolina Mountains and places like that, right? So these guys, after running all these illegal things and they're running their freaking circuit or whatever the case may be, they ask him, you know something? You guys make some pretty good shine. Why don't you come on the show? Now, you'd think, I guess the show is all about moonshine only. Is that correct? And I would have to say, you know,
how about new?
Absolutely not. It's all kinds of distilled spirits. And what each winner gets is they actually get a limited run of their craft concoction run in like a major distillery and bottled and sent and distributed all over the United States. So it's actually a worthwhile thing. Well, the best part about this thing is where normally the fat dude is the Rube in this whole thing, right? It's like, ha ha ha, look at the fat guy who doesn't belong here. This time, it was the hipster that was out of place. And the greatest part about it is he makes some really fucking great clean shine. It's actually rum that they're doing. So he makes his great first cut, and it's clean, it's beautiful. He gets the proof where it's supposed to be, and then they got to go to round two. This is where we're going to go ahead and put all the flavor, the, you know, the kernels, herbs, and spices inside of there. You know what I'm saying? So what do? They basically take them out in the middle of the night into some fucking mountains for some dramatic bullshit to go visit the Deliverance roadside battle of banjos and produce stand so that they can pick out some fruit and spices to flavor the rum while not potentially getting kidnapped and raped in the woods. So at any rate, they're up there, they're getting their fruit, and they're getting their spices. And since Hipster Dude won the first round, he gets first pick. So he's going in there, and he's picking all of the stuff that he likes out of there, right? At the end of the day, the two fat dudes that are sitting there with skull in their teeth, clearly intergenerationally, you know, they're like their own mother's second sister, or whatever the case, or brother. These guys, right, these inbred fuckers, win because they make some really good shit, while Hipster Dude decides, you know what, I'm going to take it to a level of esoteric. I'm going to put in some goji berries and echinacea, and I'm thinking to myself, dude, do you have any fucking clue who it is that you're doing this shit for? You're not creating this for some fucking place over on South Beach or like L.A. or whatever, so you can make some like vegan drink that is full of like antioxidants and vitamins and all kinds of herbaceous wonderfulness. Bro, you're making fucking shine. He seemed to miss that point. got bounced. So the fat rednecks win, right? And it led me to start thinking about something real important. You know, with all this bullshit body positivity propaganda out there and all this fawning over dad bods, why aren't more fat dudes represented out there? I mean, like, when was the last time that you saw a fat dude, like, really go ahead and take over a show and be, like, the center of attention? I mean, what, maybe Fat Bastard and Goldmember? Something along those lines? I mean, if you think about it, right, when was the last time you saw a fat dude lounging at the swim-up bar in a ball-hugging Speedo on a luxury travel program? I'm just wondering, right? Is that too strong? Okay, how about this one, man? How about a fat guy demoing the luxury spa amenities, right? You get this wonderful action shot of him getting a massage as his chubs are squeezed up between the fingers of the masseuse while she kneads his fat like Wagyu cows before they're slaughtered for their beef. Dude, that would be absolutely the greatest, right? No, instead, what do? They cast the fat guy in stereotypical roles. You know how it is. Eating disgusting foods like Andrew Zimmerman and freaking bizarre foods, or in like shovel as much food in your face as you possibly can challenges like Casey Webb with like man versus food. Because as we all know, right, watching a fat guy keel over from a heart attack during a fried food challenge, dude, it's the bread and circuses of the modern Coliseum, right? I'm thinking, you could merge all that shit together, right? You could stick a fat guy in some action shots. Look at Bert Kreischer, for instance. He went ahead and did, like, Bert the Conqueror, where he goes to all these different, like, roller coaster parks and stuff like that. I'm just thinking, with all this bullshit body positivity going on out there and everybody locked down and freaking from the COVID pandemic, shoveling food in their face, wondering when they're actually again going to have a social life, now might be the time that we actually have to potentially change the way that we're going ahead and putting program together. You know, like I had this really fantastic idea. I think that Anthony Bourdain, probably the best series that he did was The Layover. And that evolved because he was constantly on the road. I think he was out on the road something like 11 out of 12 months of the year just filming. So he would have these horrendous layovers in all these places, and he's like, ah, fuck it. If I'm kind of stuck over here, might as well go ahead and go around and just kind of, like, create a series about being stuck over here for the next 3 days while I'm waiting for us to go ahead and film. So he created another series out of it. I'm thinking that what would have been better, right? That's a cool series. LP's got a way to take it up a notch. Why don't we go ahead and instead of doing the layover, do the hangover? So we got a fat guy that just competed in a fucking drinking challenge, drank up everybody's booze. We want to go ahead and follow him around after all that happens. Where does he go to get the mandatory grease to make sure that he doesn't wake up with like a sledgehammer to the head in the morning? What does he do the day afterwards? How does this man abuse his body after he abused his body like, I don't know, 8 hours earlier? So that way he can be quasi-functional during the course of the day. That, my friends, would be a show worth watching, I think. Why? Because it's relatable for two reasons. One, not many of us are the Bronze Barbarians, folks. I mean, guys, fellas, let's be real. You get to a certain point where you look over at the machine over there and you say, you know, I probably should go ahead and lift some weights, but I'm having a hard time lifting this glass over here and it needs to get refilled. Let's go ahead and do that, right? You got that piece. And then, like, the other piece is, dude, as you age, and I'm an expert on this, you're just fighting gravity. Every time just to hit par is a little harder. It's just a little harder. So it's relatable. I think it's relatable on so many ways. I know. Shut up, LP. You're full of bad ideas. Yes, I am. That's okay. I'll tell you what, kids. We're going to take a break for a minute. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. Actually, Gabriel, it doesn't so much have genitalia as it's got lots and lots of pronouns in it. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm talking
about?
Did
I make myself clear?
Huh?
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So at any rate, Hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's Jockulation. I'm LP Fowles, your host. Hey, I got to acknowledge my circle of intimacy
here.
One
of us, okay?
We'll gobble one of us. We accept that one of us. We'll gobble one of us. We accept that one of us.
We got a couple people in the room here. We got, all right, Eileen Digo. Sorry, the whiskey's taking over. We got Al Pacino. We got Anarchist. We got Gabriel. We've got Darsko. We've got Qua, we've got Jason, we've got Ronda, we've got Gecko. We've got a couple of people over here tonight. Pretty cool. So what were we talking about? Shit, man. See, I'm going to become Forgetful Jones over here. You know how it is? It is what it is, man. All right, so what was I going to do? I was going to talk about something profound there before I was going to talk about what I was really going to talk about, but I can't seem to recall at the present moment. Because, well, you know, shit just went ahead and went sideways here. So we'll just get into what I can hear you. Why, thank you. So nice of you to let me know. I like that. She's like, yeah, you got it right. It was slow, but you did it right. So check this shit out, right? So as we're sitting over here talking about all this body positivity shit, me going ahead and actually, yeah, Nina's spying on you. I don't know about that, man. The studio that I'm in. Oh, I know what I was going to fucking talk about now. Check this shit out. Can you believe it? I've actually got my first piece of freaking merchandise ready to go. Can you believe this shit? It only took 2.5 years. So I've actually got my very first piece of merch pulled together. So, yeah, that being said, what I'm going to wind up doing is I'm going to wind up putting it up inside. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, cool, I got this now. All I got to do is put it up on a shop. And then I'm sitting there kind of like looking around going, I need to like wire in a fucking front end for all of these things. What in the shit is going on here with this shit? Why isn't there a place I could just drop this in and it'll make a fucking shirt? And of course, you know what happens, right?
How about new?
And then what winds up happening is, you know, Ron looks at me, he says, look, why don't you go talk to Julia, man? She'll go ahead and let you know exactly what to do. So I go over to talk to Miss Alien Honey herself. And what winds up happening? She says to me, she's like, no, man, you basically have to wire a front end on every fucking site that you could possibly come to. And I'm just kind of like, dude, you know
fuck what? You fucking suckers!
It took me this long to get this far. Why couldn't it be easier? Well, it's just not going to happen, man. It's just not going to fucking happen. So I'm kind of screwed as far as that goes. But it's okay. I'll get it over there. I'll get it up there eventually. But the best part has to be that awkward moment when your coworkers find out that you have a show that might not be very PC. And they're like, oh, you got merch? And not only are your coworkers finding out that it's not PC, it's like you're the only dude in that brood of coworkers. And they all want to see your non-PC shirt. And I'm kind of just sitting there thinking to myself, does this mean that I'm going to get booted off this like really fast because, like, you know, I'm going to be sexually harassing people or something in today's day and age? I'm like, shoulder shrug. Let's just give it a shot. So I go ahead and slap the shirt up there. And, you know, I'll give you a little background. I made a commercial. I did a first cut, and then I went ahead and actually sort of redid it. But it was for a company called the Vampire Squid Financial Fuckery Fund. Yeah, you can put two and two together and think about how this is all going to come together. So now I've got shirts and stickers for this that can also do cell phone cases, mugs, all that shit, right? And so I'm like, I don't know if I should put this up there, so I'm caveating. And I'm like, okay, so here's the premise behind it, and here's kind of how I made the commercial, and here's where we come to the really crass part. And then dead silence, right? And I'm just kind of like, so what do you think? Thinking, okay, I'm going to go ahead. My boss is on this thing, and I'm expecting her to go, so it was great working with you, LP. This will be your last day today. And instead, she goes, oh, my God, I think you missed your calling. Did you do this yourself? I'm like, well, me and an artist. And she's like, no, this is really good stuff, man. Are you going to do more? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. Why? Did you want a shirt? So go figure, man. I would have never thought in a million years. So, yes, I'll eventually get that thing up there. I don't know. Yeah, I want to pay for merch with PAL. Make it happen. You know, ironic you should say something about that, Ron, because that's what Miss Alien Honey herself was telling me. And she hooked me up with a way to pay with crypto. There's a couple of options. I don't know if PAL's one of them, but I know that hers, or at least I think her option, does have the availability to pay with PAL. The other one is there's a couple of other options out there to pay with Bitcoin. So I don't know. I'm working on it. We'll get it over there. And yes, I'll go ahead and I'll let you all know when it's available. So that way you can choose or not to, to purchase the merch. But I've got about four more designs in queue right now. So it's not like it's going to be like a one and done. There's quite a number of things that I've been working on for a little while now. So at any rate, moving on. Moving on. So we're talking about body positivity here earlier, right? And I was sitting there, you know, shilling for the fat guy. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm not the only one that was all about body positivity, but and exploiting it. Apparently, YouTube is now profiting off creeps hacking a sexy body positive TikTok challenge, right? All of these wonderful fucking things that are out there, you know, all these stupid fucking challenges that once upon a time just existed on like YouTube. Now they've migrated over to TikTok because what better way to exploit you than go over there? Well, apparently for the past few weeks, there's this dumbass trend called the silhouette challenge, and it's been going viral on TikTok. And basically, you have a remix of this really shitty Paula Anika's Put Your Head on My Shoulder, and the participants in this trend stand in front of the camera fully clothed or not, and you know, stand in their doorway in a silhouette with a red filter, dancing provocatively and showing off their bodies. Now, not every participant in this is fully clothed, right? So there are some enterprising young folks out there that decide, you know what would be great is if we could have like another fappening, only with all of this stuff. So it was hijacked by a bunch of individuals, and they figured out how, with some software, how to remove the red filter from the videos to reveal the bodies of these women in full, whether they're clothed or not. And they decided, why go ahead and just stop here when we could share this technology with everybody? So a subreddit featuring these edited TikToks has been banned by Reddit. There are still dozens of videos on YouTube instructing people how to edit the videos. Some of them have hundreds of thousands of views, and at least six of them feature ads indicating they're being monetized. Because why would YouTube actually have ethics, man? When you can actually make... Yeah, Anarchist is like, hold on a second, man. I got to Google this shit right now. Why on earth would YouTube actually have ethics and decide to have a fucking conscience about this thing when they could go ahead and make some money off of exploiting the shit out of somebody else without actually, like, directly exploiting them, right? You know what I'm saying? For research purposes, right? So the most popular of the videos has more than 233,000 views, and they tend to be uploaded by tech product review and hack channels. So, hey, you know something, Anarchist? People are apparently searching for the term so frequently that how to remove red light silhouette challenge shows up in the autocomplete underneath terms like how to paint a house exterior, how to remove squirrels in your attic. So you should just only have to type up the first few of them. And next thing you know, like fucking magic, it's going to go ahead and appear automatically right inside that search bar. And when we talk about dumbass fucking challenges, then the curse that is fucking TikTok, let me tell you what a dumbass fucking challenge is, right? So now we've not only gone from like dumbass challenges on TikTok to COVID-19 cures, because now apparently TikTokers are eating burnt oranges to regain the taste and smell lost to COVID-19. But, you know, it probably won't work. So some TikTokers who have temporarily lost their sense of taste and smell to the virus have made the most of it, filming taste tests and chugging alcohol, which apparently still burns. Dozens. That's right, Jason. Dozens of them. So a clip that had more than 2 million views, so that just means there's 2 million knuckleheads that are listening to the dozens over here. Apparently, I can't even pronounce that fucking name, charred a whole orange on a gas stove burner, peeled off the blackened rinds, and mashed the fruit up with a couple of spoonfuls of brown sugar. Why? Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows? And another TikToker said she was 10% taste before eating the burnt orange, and she believes the so-called Jamaican remedy brought her up to 80%. Others weren't so successful. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. It sounds really fucking empirical. How did you get to like a 10% taste bud thing, right? I mean, what did you do? What did you do to go ahead and verify that you actually only had 10% and that it jumped to 80%? I'm just curious. I'm asking for a friend. Well, does this shit actually have any kind of...
I love that Anarchist is already checking it out.
Well, what does this COVID shit do? This anosmia, right? Which is the loss of smell. Could this shit actually go ahead and do that? Well, according to some experts... excuse me, air quotes, experts out there. It's believed to be caused by damage to the structure surrounding the nerves associated with smell. So we think it works with neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to change, and with COVID and whatever the fuck it's called, the loss of smell. In some way or another, nerves in the olfactory system have been altered by COVID. So by practicing smelling essential oils or aromatic foods, it could be possible to rewire the neural connections associated with the olfactory nerves, which is kind of cool. But then, of course, it makes me start to think. I get curious. So from the dipshits that all came up with the COVID lick the public restroom toilet bowl challenge comes the burnt orange COVID remedy, right? This fucking scam is better than the shit that the big pharma pulls. I suppose you need some on-the-job training before you can swim with the sharks, right? But then it kind of made me start thinking some more, and I'm like, hey, Janet Yellen, instead of going after the guys on fucking Reddit, do a public service in Wall Street Bets, you know, that are doing just this fucking public service thing. Maybe look into the fucktard TikTok challenges. I mean, like, Jake Paul seems ready to throw away $50 million anyways to get his ass beat by Floyd Mayweather. So why not go ahead and, I don't know, go after a couple of these fucktards and sit there and get them for, like, CFTC violations and shit like that? You'd be doing the world a service between Tide Pod challenges. Hey, why don't I go ahead and lick the fucking public restroom toilet bowl and see if I get COVID-19 and encourage everybody else to do all that shit? Rather than these guys at Wall Street Bets going, I got a great idea. How about we fucking stick it to the hedge funds and, like, I don't know, bid up GameStop. You know what I mean? They're doing a fucking public service. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm seriously waiting for the next TikTok challenge and remedy. You know what I bet it's going to be? It's going to wind up being like the fucking durian fruit two girls, one cup tonic. I'll bet you that's what it's going to be. Well, how do you do this? Well, you know, you squeeze a little durian fruit juice inside there, and then you mix it up with some feces. And you know what? Swear to God, you'll smell and taste everything in like a fucking heartbeat. And of course, you know, we start talking about all this COVID-19 shit and everybody's helpful guidance on it, from remedies to all kinds of stuff, right? Well, on the heels of the British Columbia Center for Disease Control issuing a guidance to use glory holes as a protective barrier during love in the time of Corona over here, and then the Pennsylvania Department of Health issuing some helpful guidelines for safer orgies during love in the time of Corona. It seems now the Center of Disease Control thought a little guidance around some Super Bowl parties was needed. How about that one, right? Because you know how it is. Love in the time of Corona, it doesn't wait for the fucking Super Bowl. So what kind of shit could they possibly go ahead and give us, right? Well, let me help you with that. As part of their brilliant recommendations to avoid spreading COVID-19 while in small gatherings, the CDC is warning against shouting, cheering loudly, or singing as the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? The agency instead recommends to clap, stomp your feet, or bring or provide handheld noisemakers. So they go ahead and give these dumbass fucking recommendations here about maybe you should have a Zoom party where you could all put your clothes on together, you know, have your memorabilia. Maybe you could make some, like, cooking demonstrations together and show each other the kinds of, like, hors d'oeuvres that you made and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, how good did that fucking work in Thanksgiving and Christmas, you dumbass? This is America. We don't do that shit in America. You know what I'm saying? So, as a result, they say, of course, if you do gather outside your home for the game, it's recommended that you sit at least 6 feet away from the people you don't live with. Wear a mask with two or more layers to stop the spread of COVID-19 to protect yourself and others. So again, it made me do some thinking here. Hey, JJ Chang. I hope you're not expecting my ugly mug on the fucking screen over there, because it's not going to happen right now. So it made me start thinking, right? Moving forward, all the guidance issued from the CDC now is about double bagging your face. Have you noticed that? Wear two masks, don't wear one. Right? At this stage, why don't they just fucking tell us to go wrap our faces in like five layers of cling film every time we go outside and feel a mild breeze? I mean, that's what it's coming down to, right? We keep getting this updated guidance. And I'll tell you what, since nobody in America is going to avoid having a Super Bowl party, I got a great idea. Why don't we just combine all the helpful guidance we've received from all these Centers for Disease Control and just host a safer live Super Bowl sex party? I mean, since there's no guidance for a safer Super Bowl party, but there are safer guidelines for orgies and group sex gatherings, just have a fucking Super Bowl orgy, right? You got to follow the guidance. So let's go down the list, right? Limit the number of partners you have sex with. Be sure to double bag both your face and your penis for maximum safety and an additional protective barrier. And in the event that you still feel unsafe, be sure to drill some glory holes into your walls for you and all of your friends that are coming over. Okay? So don't take that as like any sort of like, you know, I don't know, guidance from LP. It's just, I don't know, kind of like my COVID TikTok challenge thing, right? I'm trying to be helpful here. I'm just mashing all the guidance together. Think of it kind of like a Cliff's Notes version of things. And I don't know, if you can't have a safe Super Bowl party, just have a safer Super Bowl orgy. You know what I'm saying? The more you know. All right, kids, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back we'll be back in a second. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I got to get some whiskey. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I got to line up about 15 or 20 of those punk songs so that I can actually have, like, I don't know, 5 minutes. Ron and I have talked about this a number of times. Like, the greatest thing and the worst thing about punk rock songs is they're, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. And you sit there, you get some really fast beats, some wonderful stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, I got to get back on the air here, right? And the next thing you know, you're kind of like,
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
Because I'm not ready yet, you know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of really cool shit on my boards here. If you want to go ahead and get your ears blown out by freaking Carlos like we do every week, hold on a minute.
That's a scam!
There we go. I love that one. At any rate, man, so we're over here. It's a Friday night. We're about halfway done with the show. Can you believe that shit? I mean, I can't believe that shit, but what can I say? You know what I mean? We're about halfway done. Or should I do that one, or should I go ahead and just bring, like, the nearly dead, like, Ric Flair in? Hold on a minute. There we go. That's the nearly dead Ric Flair over there. You know, it's not his, like, older stuff, because there's, like, a higher pitch woo. And then, of course, you know, when he's, like, keeling over about ready to fucking die, it's like, here's Ric Flair. Oh, yeah, baby. I should probably get a new one, get a younger Ric Flair in there, you know, to go ahead and kind of mix it up. But, hey, I'm just sitting here babbling. You know, we've got a show to go ahead and move on here. And you know something? Do you remember that time, once upon a time, not so long ago, when, like, Jeopardy actually had a host? And his name was, like, fucking Alex Trebek. Well, not fucking. But, you know, his name was Alex Trebek. And then he died. And then what they did was they said, hey, why take a tragedy like this and let it go to waste when we could just shit all over this man's legacy, right? Because that's what we want to do. So Anderson Cooper now leads the latest round of guest hosts. And along with Mr. Cooper, you have Dr. Mehmet Oz, Savannah Guthrie, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. They're all going to take turns at hosting, right? They're all going to Eiffel Tower, and they're all going to do merry-go-rounds and all kinds of shit. And they'll get a nice bonus, too. The donation will be made to the host charity of choice in an amount equal to the cumulative winnings of the contestants. Now, you're probably asking yourself, are we just going to have a whole bunch of fucking doctors sitting here in this retard from, like, CNN? Are we going to have these people? No, kids, it gets 100 times worse. Why should we stop there when we can just take it to the lower depths of hell and really turn it into a steaming pile of shit? Well, who else is coming on? He's going to be followed by, like, former news anchor Katie Couric, NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because I'm sure he knows all the fucking, you know, he goes ahead and shows esoteric brilliance and stuff like that. And then there's 60 Minutes, Bill Whitaker, and as always, the guest fucking host, an actress, ma'am, I can't even fucking say her name, but I don't even know who she is, so it really doesn't matter, right? It really doesn't fucking matter. Does it matter?
How about new?
Absolutely not. So you know what? I was looking at this, and I'm like, man, that's a shitload of doctors up there, but there's a person that's missing. I mean, where the fuck is Dr. Phil? Right? If you're going to have, if you're trying to feign like intellectual highbrow with a bunch of people who aren't real doctors but play them on daytime TV, shouldn't like Dr. Phil at least be on that esteemed list of guests and shit like that? I'm just wondering, why is Dr. Phil there? And you know what? This isn't taking it adequately to the levels of shit that it needs to go to. So I think the direction they're really going for is like a wholesale gaggle of opinions with no knowledge or substance. So fuck it. Let's just get everyone from the fucking View daytime knitting circle to host together. And just to go ahead and put the cherry on top of this shit show train wreck appeal, why don't we just throw in Alyssa Milano with all of her knitted COVID masks to go ahead and actually be part of that group? I'm just thinking that would really turn Jeopardy into the entire steaming shit pile that they're trying to make it by putting all these people in there, right? I mean, who the hell wants all this stuff? And, you know, speaking of steaming shit pile and people that play professionals on daytime TV, one of the more interesting things, and we'll just take a step back here for a minute. So last week, there was some fun machinations which occurred in the week before with the folks over in Wall Street Bets. And they basically did some things where they decided, you know what? Wouldn't it be great to just go ahead and, I don't know, bid up a stock and kind of fuck these hedge funds and stuff over? And then after that, we'll move to silver and do a bunch of other things. And then, of course, that's not supposed to happen because nobody's allowed to go ahead and manipulate the shit out of markets except for, you know, like the hedge funds and the banks and the politicians. So what winds up happening is, in the end, all of a sudden, everybody gets upset because Melvin has to get bailed out for billions. Citadel gets upset because that's not the way it's supposed to be. They weren't supposed to lose that money. Robinhood winds up being the fall guy. And then in the end of it all, you basically sit here and see that they're looking to go after the people in Reddit. Now, what's interesting about this is our good friend that we've been talking about all night long, Janet Yellen. Well, it turns out that she got an ethics waiver to lead a regulator meeting on GameStop after taking $810,000 from Citadel. So barely days after being confirmed as President Joe Biden's new Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen has to preside over a major media circus and the most glaring indication yet of just how broken the U.S. stock market is. One month ago, kids, she pledged in an ethics forum that she would recuse herself for 1 year from when she made her last paid speeches to the companies. And yes, kids, coincidentally, her last paid speech, why, it happened to be to Citadel in like October. How freaking coincidental, right? So the Honorable Fed Chair Treasury Secretary has received permission from the ethics lawyers to lead the proceedings, which began Thursday with a meeting of top U.S. market regulators. Quote, separate from the GameStop issue, the Secretary of the Treasury, mind you, this is Jen Psaki or whatever it is, the new person that's over inside of who's the spokesperson for Biden, said separate from the GameStop issue, the Secretary of the Treasury is one of the world-renowned experts on markets and on the economy. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that she was paid to give her perspective and advice before she came into office, she told reporters. Of course, ignoring the obvious conflict of interest that's there, right? So ultimately, when she was challenged, what wound up happening was Psaki came back and attempted to go ahead and make it about her being a woman. So now that she's got the ethics waiver in tow, Yellen, that is, she's going to chair the Financial Stability Oversight Council, and it's holding hearings, informal ones and closed-door hearings, on the risks posed by Redditors. So let's get this straight, kids. It's not the hedge funds. It's not the banks. It's not the fact that Robinhood lied about whether or not they were still liquid. It's none of that stuff. What it is it's those goddamn Redditors over there. So let's just go ahead and make sure that we keep our eye on the ball, on the important things. And remember, whatever you do, don't eat too many burnt oranges. And, dude, let's get Jeopardy turned into the shit show that it's supposed to be, right? That's all we want. That's all we're asking for. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
I know. Well, I'll tell you what. I got to go grab some more refreshments. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after the break here in a second. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Jockulation. So yeah, that group is actually called Trollfest. So appropriate, so awesome. I love it when somebody takes a song as terrible as Don't Worry, Be Happy and turns it into something of beauty like that. Hey man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. It's Friday nights. You know how it goes, man. All these Circle of Intimacies here. And we're getting updates on Swoop getting his teeth pulled out of his head like that. You know, it's just wonderful stuff. Reminds me of me. When I was about 16 years old, I wound up having to have all of my wisdom teeth pulled, all four of them. So rather than going ahead and actually getting put under to do something like that, I got about 16 shots of Novocaine in the face, and the dude just went to town pulling out my impacted wisdom teeth. And they all sounded like rusty nails coming out of boards, you know, and then they'd pop at the end. But the catch is this. Much like what's going on with Soup right now, I wound up getting dry socket, where I wound up getting the gaps where the teeth used to be became infected on the lower part of it. And what I will say to you, Swoop, is listen to what Ron's talking about, because that shit happened to me when I got that dry socket and I got the infection. Man, I hit 103 like rapidly, really, really fast. So they had to go back over there, tear open all my stitches, cut me back open inside my mouth, and take a bunch of antibiotic-coated gauze and crammed it inside the dry socket where it was at and sewed me back up. That was joyful. And then the next part that was joyful was when they had to take that shit out. So it was just, yeah, Dr. Qua. Dude, you should have gone ahead and been on Jeopardy if you're going to call yourself Dr. Qua. I'm just saying, man. Oh, he's just in chat saying and brag about the drugs. I know. Woe is me. What is it that's struggle porn? That's what he wants to do. He wants to let everybody be a part of his struggle porn. Hey, man, that shit's in vogue right now. It is what it is, but in all seriousness, man, hope he's okay. Hope he gets well. So I'm sitting over here talking about all these, you know, he's talking about like Mexican painkillers and all that shit. You know what he should do? Next time he's going to go over there, he's going to have to go. What's this? LP is used to the fact that this is the only time I have to actually eat. Yeah, man, it's okay. It is what it is, man. If she's just going to passively listen, that's fine too. So, you know, in talking about Mexican painkillers and shit like that, and talking about these fantastic trends, let's go ahead and talk about some dipshit over here by the name of Lil Uzi, who got a $24 million diamond pierced into his fucking forehead. So this fucking idiot, I mean this, you know, breakthrough rap artist over here, he decided that it would be a smart thing to do to go ahead and get this fucking diamond jammed into his forehead, you know, right when Friday's job numbers showed the labor market continues to deteriorate with millions of people unemployed, experiencing housing and food insecurities and all that other shit. And he decides, you know what would be good right now? Let me go ahead and shove a $24 million diamond into my head. Quote, it looks like he has what we would call a vertical bridge piercing, as in the bridge of the nose. No, it looks like he's got a great big pink clitoris over there that's glittering on the top of his forehead. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, I'll say the politically incorrect thing over here.
How dare you?
But come on, man. That thing looks like a gigantic fucking clitoris, you know, that just popped out of his head or something like that. At any rate, so Lil Uzi over here. Let's talk about him a second. He calls it a vertical bridge piercing, right? That would be an actual piercing with a staple-shaped barbell that enters at one point, exits at another, and then the big diamond attaches to the bar on the front. It's a piercing, while obviously not super common in typical circles, it's fairly common in piercing circles. Definitely not with a $24 million diamond on it, but that's something that gets done. And I'm like, what the fuck? Get out of here with that shit, man. Come on. What's the over-under that this guy doesn't get murdered in the fucking hood that he goes into in like 5 seconds and somebody rips that shit out of his forehead? It's going to be fucking phenomenal, man. I hope that it's like, you know, it's like on that, like, caught on video. One of those moments where somebody goes ahead and gets, like, pimp slaps him, puts him down when he starts whining and crying, you know, after he gets the backhand, like one would expect. And then they just, like, rip that fucking diamond out of his head. And then he's going to have that dumbass, like, you know, scar in the middle of his forehead to remind him about how stupid an idea this was. But, you know, it is what it is. I have my thoughts. You know, I share them an awful lot, shooting at the hip. And speaking about somebody shooting at the hip and sharing their thoughts, like, off the cuff, our good friend Donald Trump apparently is so frustrated now by his Twitter ban that he's writing out insults and asking his aides to tweet him, a report says. So apparently former President Trump is so frustrated at being barred from Twitter that he's writing down his insults and trying to get aides to post the messages from their own accounts, according to the Daily Beast. So Trump has instead, quote, written out insults and observations, several of them about Liz Cheney, and unable to tweet them himself, he has resorted to suggesting put downs for others to use to post on their own Twitter. Well, Dr. Qua, what you got to do is you have to go ahead and get in touch with him. I don't know how now, right? Normally you could like add him over on Twitter. Now he doesn't have a Twitter to add him at. So maybe what you need to do is like, I don't know, get in touch with one of the people that are kind of like adding for him. You know what I mean? So go ahead and add them. And then maybe, you know, Twitter will go ahead, or Trump will go ahead and shoot you over like a few like insults and put downs. You know, this is kind of like what it reminds me of. Is it reminds me of George Carlin used to ghostwrite for David Letterman because, well, David Letterman sucked that bad at humor that, like, George Carlin would ghostwrite for him and give him monologues and shit that was actually funny. So in the same respect, right, is there anybody in this party that actually has any kind of, like, clout, any kind of, like, you know, love him or hate him, the one thing you gotta love about Donald Trump is he definitely knows how to go ahead and get his point across on Twitter. I remember at one point he called himself the Ernest Hemingway of 144 characters. And I just started laughing my ass off about that very thing because, one, the fucking ego, and two, the fact that he calls himself a great literary figure on fucking Twitter. That in of itself is just like, it's one of those moments.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I love it. Oh, my God. But, you know.
I like money.
So do I. Maybe he'll get you. Maybe he'll pay you. Oh, but that's right. He probably owes a bunch of people. And did you guys happen to see, like, Rudy Giuliani? First thing first. Hold on. Lou Dobbs, after the voting people went ahead and decided to sue Fox News for, like, $1.2 billion for some shit that Lou Dobbs said, they just told Lou Dobbs to hit the bricks. So the number one business show, they told him, get the fuck out of here because you just brought us a $1 million, or what is it, a $1 billion lawsuit. Ah! And then the greatest one ever is fucking Rudy Giuliani on his ABC freaking news show this morning. It's like, this massive disclaimer is put in front of his show. You know, these opinions are the ones that are only that are exclusive to, you know, what's his face, Rudy Giuliani over here, and not necessarily the opinions and not talk show hosts of the show, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. You know, the same standard shit that I've got to go ahead and put at the front of my show, and pretty much everybody else does. And then Rudy Giuliani's on there like, oh well, I've got to have a conversation about this because of course they're my opinions and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Listen, you're a lawyer. You know that this is the way of the world, man. It's all about the CYA moves. It's all about sticking in the lingo that basically says, hey, if you're going to sue somebody, make sure it's not the station. Make sure it's that dude there. And in light of the fact that you're now part of, like, you know, what, $1.3 billion lawsuit with your comrade in arms over there that was releasing the Kraken, I could understand why it is that if you're going to go ahead and sign a contract on a radio show, they just might put a couple of caveats in the front of it. Now, are you being silenced? No. Oh, hold on. Wrong one. Are you being silenced, Rudy? I mean,
how about new?
No. Are you going? Are you able to go ahead and actually speak your mind and all that stuff? You know, to their credit, they're not censoring him. So go ahead and put it out there for ABC. Doesn't mean I'm an ABC shill here. It means that we've got to go ahead and take a look at the whole picture, not just the little corner where somebody went ahead and drew in the little dick. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, kids, it's interesting times right now, but it's kind of funny. So if you're looking for a job, you too can go ahead and hit up Trump. I don't know how, maybe through a classified advertisement or something like that, over inside like the back page of your local free rag, and say, "Hey, Johnny, hey, Donnie, I'm here for you. Go ahead and just fire me a couple of those insults. I'll tweet them on your behalf." You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. Dr. Ron, OBGYN. We got a lot of doctors here, man. Are you guys planning on going ahead and actually, like, I don't know, becoming part of that celebrity panel for freaking Jeopardy? Take over like Alex Trebek stuff? I mean, the corpse isn't cold yet. You know what I mean? All right, man, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back after the break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. It's that time, kids. Grab your martini, grab your smoking jacket, and let's just ease in with some Tom Waits. And holy shitballs, just like that, we're about finished, and can you believe it? I think we got, about 15 minutes or so left, so I got some more shit to play. But before I do, there's nothing in life that is more awesome than when somebody has just built up this awesome reserve of karma because they've been telling you all about what a fucking tard and how wrong you are, only to have it turn around back on themselves. Like, I don't know, what says more wonderful than when Greta Thunberg triggers a criminal investigation in India after a Twitter debacle? That's right, kids. Apparently, the teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg posted a document to Twitter containing tweets that she was told to post and actions she should take regarding the current protests over in India.
How dare you?
And she quickly deleted that right afterwards. So apparently, because of this whole thing, what winds up happening now is, if I'm understanding correctly, they're going to the Delhi police on Thursday confirmed that a criminal case had been launched against the creators of the toolkit document shared by Thunberg because, quote, the call was to wage economic, social, cultural, and regional war against India. Well, you know,
how dare you?
Here's the thing, right? Honestly, I'll tell you what, in terms of what's going on with Greta, my feeling is I feel bad for Greta because she's just a tool being used. I don't feel bad at all for the people that, I don't know, could potentially wind up going over to some Indian prison in some place so that they can go ahead and get a proper proper assessment or get a real feeling of what criminal justice is like in other parts of the world. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of those kinds of things that are kind of wonderful. And it's funny because, like, whatchamacallit, a few weeks back, I talked about this thing over on Zero Hedge, which is one of my favorite places to go ahead and read about just the comings and goings of the world. They had gone ahead and brought in somebody who did astrology. Now, the fucked up part about this whole thing is that when you look at astrology, people who are like truly high net worth people, we're talking like in the billions and stuff like that, they hire astrologers regularly. And I happen to know one, not Jacob. I happen to know another astrologer that does readings for these types of people. And the reason being is because astrology has a lot of, it's sort of like maps, trends, and all of that sort of stuff. So there is some correlation over the extra long term. Like if you're doing like severe long horizon investments, it actually works out. But that being said, it what was interesting was it talked about how there's a move into the age of Aquarius and that people are moving away from the material into something greater, sort of like the communal, if you will, something to that effect. And it's interesting when you watch and take a look at all the shit that's going on in the world right now, how people are going after the hedge funds through Wall Street Bets. They're kind of coming together as the common person. You have people that are pulling puppet strings and all that stuff and trying to instigate that now, oops, all of a sudden it gets poured out into the public, and now they're going to come under criminal investigation. It's kind of interesting to watch how all this shit is lining up, because it's actually quite fun. But I'll tell you what, I've got enough time for maybe a couple more things, a quick goodbye, and then I think we're going to be out. So we're going to take a break here real quick, put a little more music on. I'll be back in just a sec. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars. I'm the ringmaster of the shit show this evening. Can you believe it, man? Just like that, I think we've got like 5 minutes or something left. So I'll tell you what, let's just go through just a quick synopsis of what's going on over here. So when we came into the show, we talked at length about pandemic TV, how fucking terrible it is. We talked about the twinks that were running the booze traveler and the freaking, which the other one, the thirsty traveler, with that gay-ass little fucking tankard that he's got. And then we went ahead and talked about the casting stereotypes made for TV. We're lobbying for fat people in this body positive era, especially the fat dudes, right? We talked about when was the last time that you saw a fat dude lounging up in the swim bar and ball hugging Speedo on a luxury travel channel program. You know what I mean? We talked about that. We talked about watching him get his fat rolls massaged over inside of like a luxury spa. It would be an excellent fucking show to go ahead and watch, right? Instead, we're relegated to all those other kinds of terrible roles because, like I said, people dying of a heart attack during a fried food challenge jury is the bread and circuses of the modern era. So we covered that. We talked about how YouTube's profiting off of hacking like the this red screen challenge that's going on right now. If you missed it, you missed the way to go ahead and hack it and actually take a look at all of these women nakedly dancing behind a red filter. And then we talked about this fantastic fucking trend about TikTokers eating burnt oranges to retain the taste and smell lost to COVID. We also had a discussion about the CDC warning against shouting, cheering during Sunday Super Bowl. The moral of the story that we learned is, since guidelines exist for safer group sex parties, just have a Super Bowl fucking orgy and drill a few, like, glory holes in the wall to provide barriers for added protection and make sure that we don't contaminate one another with the COVID. We talked about how they didn't let, poor little fucking Alex Trebek go quietly in the night. They decided to shit all over his venerable career by bringing in a whole bunch of doctors that play doctors on TV but aren't really doctors, and they're missing Dr. Phil. We talked about Janet Yellen getting an ethics waiver to go ahead and prosecute the living shit out of the guys over on Wall Street Bets because the fucking Reddit forums are our biggest problem in the capital markets right now. And then, of course, what else did we talk about? Oh, yeah, we talked about, Kwa's new job over here as the spokesperson for Trump, because he's effectively writing out all of his insults and asking aides to go ahead and tweet them for him. So, Kwa, we've got your job lined up for you. All you got to do is, I don't know, maybe, go over and send a singing telegram or some shit to Trump, and maybe he'll go ahead and, fax you over a few of his, insults. Because it's not like he can exactly, tweet them over to you and let you know. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, we'll get it all sorted out one way or another, right? And, of course, we also talked about the fact that LP's got his first piece of merch out. And now it's just a matter of actually finding a fucking storefront. I've got about three more pieces of merch and three or four more in queue at the moment in time. And yes, we're actually working towards doing streaming, where you might actually get to see my ugly mug at some point in the future. But we'll have to see what the story is. No promises, only speculation. Yeah, that's what it is. So yeah, there's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes and all of that sort of stuff. And then we talked about Greta Thunberg. So she effectively not only started an impeachment, but she triggers a criminal fucking investigation over in India. Dude, that deserves some kind of a lifetime achievement award. I'm just saying, right? Who gives a shit about all your climate activism and all that? Who on earth, how many people in the world can honestly say that they have triggered a criminal investigation that could potentially destroy the lives of career politicians and a bunch of other people everywhere? I mean, there's just a handful of people. And then, of course, Lou Dobbs, he winds up getting kicked off of fucking Fox News because, he's now the target of a $1.5 billion fucking shit, mess over there from the voting system that essentially said, hey, guess what? You've gone ahead and defamed us. So we're just going to sue you and Fox News for $1.5 billion. And Fox News is get the fuck out of here, dude. You're a liability. But nothing, nothing caps the top of it. I mean, we're talking like the cream of the crop, the cherry on top, quite like Lil Uzi getting a great big fucking diamond of $24 million pierced into his forehead so it looks like he's walking around with a massive clitoris that just popped out from underneath its hood and decided to take a peek at what life is offering. So we've got all of that that happened to go, that happened tonight. And if you missed it, well, you know, I record these things, but I don't know. I'll have to figure out where I'm going to post them and all that sort of stuff. And maybe at some point in the future, I'll aggregate all of this shit. Be like a content aggregator, right? Put it all over there and just say, here, you can go ahead and listen to all these missed shows because you clearly have got a lot of time on your hands to go ahead and waste. And you know what? What better way to fill it up than to listen to a bunch of shit that I'm talking about, right? That's what I'm saying. So just to make sure, all right, guys?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
How do I have so much energy? Dude, let me tell you something. I have whiskey sitting right next to me. Whiskey is my co-pilot and my spiritual advisor. It will go ahead and pull me through anything. Outside of that, I think I probably drink way too fucking much coffee, but we cannot contaminate the whiskey with the coffee. That's like a big no-no, right? That's like taking a shit in the punch bowl. We don't do that stuff because that's considered rude and uncouth. We go ahead and enjoy each of them individually, one at a time, one at a time, right? You can't sit there. It's like crossing dicks. You can't do that. It's a no-no. We're not having a lightsaber fight. Everybody's going to have a turn, one at a time, but we're not all going to jump into the punch bowl together. You know what I'm saying? No coffee good? Get out of here, man. Whiskey is awesome. What kind of whiskey? Hey, let me tell you something, Nine. If I went ahead and gave you the name brand of this whiskey, they should fucking pay me for doing it. I'm just going to say it's good Irish whiskey because I'm a good Irish lad. That's why. Because that's just the way that it is. And if it isn't Irish whiskey, it's Scotch whiskey. And if it's like a Canadian whiskey, well, you know, we gargle with that, spit it out. We go ahead and clean battery terminals with that shit because I have not yet come across a single Canadian whiskey that I actually do like. just know. It's like up there with Johnny Walker Red. Suitable for cleaning car parts and shit like that. You know, degreaser. It is what it is. All right, kids, guess what? That's all there is. There is no more. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Everybody that joined me, thanks for those that came in and left. And, you know, we'll catch you next time and all that. Be sure to check out the Circle of Intimacy next week. Be here, same bad time, same bad channel. You know how that goes. William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? Catch you next week. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.